Old Testament. And I'm going to continue on that track. So this will be Seeing Jesus, Part 7. And we're over there in Genesis. And, you know, we're going to be bringing this thing all the way up through. And I hope that you've seen last week our point, and we can never lose sight of this. What's the purpose, the intention? And this is the thing, guys, that you know, we get so self-centered, we want to come into the church and find out what God's purpose is. Guys, we all got the same purpose. You're the field, you're the ground for His increase. I mean, you're the garden, you're His, Paul was, you're His husbandry. What that means is you're the land and He's the farmer. Husbandry, that's what it, He tills the soil and plows the soil. And He comes into your heart and plows and makes room for the seed. So yeah, you got a purpose. You got an ultimate purpose. And that purpose is for the increase. How does this take place? What is that increase? And Paul knew what that increase was. And I'll just tell you this, is that we all come to know, that we all come to the acknowledgement, that we all come to the knowledge of Christ. And what do I mean? That you may know Him, Paul would say. And I'm not saying know about Him. Hey, I know Jesus. You know, like, hey, when Adam knew Eve, she conceived and brought forth. And when you know Christ, you'll bring forth. And that's what it's about. And I know there's love and all those other things, but guys, as we go through this, I promise we're going to look at these things, because you may think what I'm telling you is all spiritual and has no application in this world, but let me tell you something. This has all the application in the world out here, every single bit of it. And Paul knew that, and that's why you're going to see today, we're going to talk about Noah's Ark out of Ephesians. Noah's Ark out of Ephesians. I mean, you think Paul just made up his stuff when he preached? He said, look, I'm declaring nothing to you that Moses and the prophets didn't declare to you. I'm not bringing nothing different. I can preach Ephesians, or, you know, Noah's Ark right in Ephesians. So, but we're going to start out, you know, and just remember the whole purpose of this thing was about the increase. Be fruitful, Adam. Be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth. So, and I want you to get this purpose. So when God made the earth, what was the purpose of the earth? Well, God liked trees. He liked flowers. He liked whatever. The earth was to be the place of the increase of Adam. Remember, when God made all this stuff, He made it good. It was very good. Adam was right there. And He tells Adam to fill the earth. So He made the earth to be filled with the image of Adam. And that was type and shadow of God making a new creation to be filled with the image of the new man. I mean, that's why. So the earth had a purpose too. What was the purpose of the earth? To be filled with the image of Adam. So what's the purpose of the new creation? To be filled with the image of the new man. So we got to. And what we got here, guys, right here in Genesis. In Genesis, we're going to start out looking at Cain and Abel. Because Cain and Abel is the first real picture of the first and second represented in a people. The first and the second. Now, what do I mean by the first and the second? I'm going to draw this line on this board up here this way, because I'm just going to make a division right there. Okay? And I'm going to call this the first. I'm going to call this the second. Okay? And I don't... Can you guys see this all right? The first and the second. What I mean by the first and the second, guys, because if we don't understand this and we don't see this scripturally, well, let's just start right here in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 47. The first man, who was the first man? Who was the first man made? The first man has got a name. He's Adam. Now, where is Adam? Paul knew this. Paul wrote this letter, and what does he say? He's of the earth. Earthy. He's from below, isn't he? So we're looking at the first. So we got a man right here. That first man, Adam. Right there. Don't be looking at the second just yet. I'm just going to give you some scriptures right here. I hope I get to these real fast. Genesis 25 and 25. Now this is about Jacob and Esau, and Esau's about to be born here, and when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb, Jacob and Esau, and the first came out red, and hairy, like a hairy garment. They called his name Esau. He was red and hairy, the first. All right, let's just go to Genesis 28. This Bible don't even have a Genesis 28. It skips right from 27 to 29. Genesis 28 and 19. And he called the name of the place Bethel. But the name of the city before it was called Bethel was Luz. So the first, so we got a city down here, and then and the first name of that is Luz. See up here, it's called what? Bethel. What does Bethel mean? Bethel means house of God. So see, I got a city. I got a house. I'm just throwing some pictures of what's here in the first, because this first is not just a man. Exodus 12. Oh, yeah. Exodus 12 and 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first. Wow. A male of the first. That's why all through there it's the first, the first, the first, the first. So I got a lamb down here, right? And I got a lamb down here in the first. There's a bunch. I mean, there's actually, if you go through and begin to look, I think there's 409 references to the first. So obviously I don't have all them. But let's see. Here's another one. Ezra 3:12. But many of the priests and the Levites, the chief fathers, who were ancient men that had seen the first house. The first house. So I got a house down here too, don't I? I got the first house. And the ancient men are who's seen the first house? The old men. That's what ancient means. My father's house, yeah. See, just stay with me here. Isaiah 44. Isaiah 44. Isaiah 44 and 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last. Besides me, there's none other. I got right down in here, I am the first. I'm the last too. I am the last. I wonder why I didn't put the last up here. Just hang on. Jeremiah 4:31. I'm just showing you some For I have heard a voice as a woman in travail in the anguish, as of her that bringeth forth her first child, the voice of the daughter of Zion that bewaileth herself. Brings forth her first child. Haggai. Haggai 2 and 3. Who was left among you that saw this house in her first glory? Well, man, I even got a glory down here on it. I got a first glory. I got a lot of firsts, don't I? See, that's why Adam and you know, the moon and all that, they had their glory right here in the first. Had their first glory. Let's go to John. John 12. There's a bunch more. 12 and 16. These things understood not the disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, that they had done these things. So what else do I see down here? No understanding in the first. No understanding in the first. Why? Because it's a mystery. Paul would say the mystery hidden from the ages. No understanding. And first, the disciples were with Jesus, walking with Jesus 3.5 years. Jesus told them everything, but yet they had no understanding in the first. Guys, you have no understanding in the first. John 19 and 39, 19. This is just proven of that point. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night. So what do I have here? What do I have here? When he came in the first, it was night. So what is night? Darkness. Do you see all these things? I mean, they're specific in the scripture. That's why Peter got a hold of that. Nicodemus came. You know what, guys? You came first to Jesus in the night. You didn't go no other way than Nicodemus. You first come to the Lord in the night. That's why Peter jumped up and says, "Clyde, wait till the day star ariseth in your heart. Till the day dawn and the day star arise." You come. It's not like, "Hey, man, I'm coming to Jesus," and all of a sudden magic does. "Hey, I know everything." No, you come just like Nicodemus, and you say, "How can this thing be?" Well, I can tell you, that's what Jesus said. With men, it's impossible. With God, all things are possible. All right, let's get to the meat of this matter here. Hebrews 8. Hebrews 8 and 7. For if the first covenant had been faultless, wait a minute, so I've got something down here. Then should there have been no place sought for the second. So I got a covenant down here. I got a covenant, but obviously there's some fault with that covenant. There's some fault with that covenant. And I'm going to tell you why. Well, the fault with this whole thing right here starts right here. It wasn't because God made a faulty covenant. It's because this dude right here. This guy right here affected everything here. Everything that I'm putting up here is affected by this guy. Why do I say that? Guys, I told you in the beginning, the earth was made. It was created with a purpose. It wasn't because God says, "I wonder what dirt is. I think I'll make something called dirt." No, he made the earth so that it could be filled with the image of Adam. And when Adam fell, everything took on that. I'll show you a little more of that here in a minute. Hebrews 8 and 13. In that he saith a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. So I got old. I just got old down here. I got all these things. And 9:1, then verily the first covenant had ordinances. So this first covenant, I got the ordinances. Covenant ordinances, divine service. I got service to God. What's that? Yeah, worldly. I got a sanctuary that's worldly. It's worldly. You see all these things? Verse 6, now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle. I got a tabernacle. Accomplishing the service of God, but into the second, the priest went once a year, not without blood. The Holy Ghost is signified that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first was still standing. Because all these things, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, all of them were a part of this. They all longed for this, but there was, how are you going to get over there? There's a great barrier right here. There is no way that you can go from here to there. I mean, it's like when we was building a room or something. There's no way to get over there. Completely shut off. How in the world are we going to go from this? Well, see, this is where the church is today in their mentality. They're still here. They're still here in this mindset and waiting for some other day to go to here. See, God didn't have it that way. Because right here in the middle of this thing, He made this little old thing right here. I can just do it like this. It's called the door. The way. You see what I'm talking about? I brought you out. Why? To bring you in. I mean, God didn't just say, guess what, guys, guess what? I'm going to get you all out of Egypt, and here's my plan. Here's my plan, Josh. I'm going to get you out of Egypt so y'all can all die in the desert. Does that sound like a plan? Heck yeah, let's go. I wouldn't have left either, would you? Hey, Clyde, I'm going to get you out of Merwin. I'm going to bring you over to Richland so you can die. I believe I'll just stay put. No, he didn't say that, did he? He said, guys, I brought you out to bring you into my mountain and you'll be my people. And the people came out, but their heart was still set here. So they all died. See, look at verse 15. For this cause he is mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament. I got a testament down here too, don't I? Man, I got all kinds of stuff here in the first. Got all kinds of stuff. How about, let's look at James 3:17. I don't know why I got that one on there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. I looked at that verse last night and I said, what does that mean? What is the wisdom of God? I'm going to tell you what the wisdom of God is. The wisdom of God is first. What is it first? It's from above. First thing I want you to understand here, Jesus said, you're from beneath. I'm from above. The wisdom of God is Christ. But not only that, Christ and Him crucified. So Jesus didn't start from down here. Jesus started from up here. And He descended into the lower parts. The wisdom, it's first pure. What do you mean pure? Was He not the Lamb without spot? You see what I'm talking about? It's first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And then, okay, let me give you the last one of the first. Revelation 21 and 1. The first heaven, the first earth passed away. So I got a daggone heaven and earth down here. I got a heaven. And I got an earth. What's he talking about right there, guys? Another planet? Another planet floating around out there, and God's going to make a brand new planet? You see, all of this, guys, is type and shadow of something he did in the first creation, but it's pointing to something. Remember I told you last week, it's not good for Adam to be alone? He wasn't talking about the first man. He was talking about the second, because all of this was pointing to all of this. So let me just show you a little bit of the second. Genesis 22 and 15. Go through these real quick. Genesis 22. After Abraham offers up Isaac, I love this little part. The angel of the Lord called out unto Abraham out of heaven. The second. You know, that's a direct reflection. Paul got a hold of that in Hebrews, said, those that look for him, he shall appear without sin. Now, when did he appear the second? Right after the sacrifice, didn't he? He offers up Isaac, but then stay thy hand, Abraham, and there was a lamb. He offered up the lamb whose horns have been caught into the bushes, and then what happens? The Lord appears to him the second. The second. You see what I mean? We're not talking about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We're talking about a whole new quality. Okay? See, we get numbers in our head. You know, like this guy was telling me the other day, man, Jesus is number one in my life. And the way we think in America is that means something else is number 2, 3, 4, and 5. But in the Jewish mindset, in the Hebrew mindset, when God said there's one hero, Israel, there's one Lord and one God. That meant to them, there is no other number. Okay, I mean, it wasn't like, hey guys, I'm going to be your number one God, and you can, because he said, have no other gods before me. I'm not number one, and then you can have, you know, number 2, 3, 4, and 5, and 6, and all that. To the Hebrew, so if you bring American thinking into the scriptures, you'll get American theology out of the scriptures. And you'll walk around with a bracelet that says, God's number one in my life and I'm number two. Uh-uh. We're going to find out what happened, because if God's number one and you're Adam, we used to preach you're this Adam multiply. I'm going to show you what he does with this man. This man right here. Because I'm going to show you here in a minute. You're either going to be you're going to have to be found here, or you're not found at all. I'm going to show you according to scriptures, according to God's view, what he does with this whole thing right here. This is scripture. Okay, Genesis 41 and 52. Genesis 41. The name of the second, remember he had two sons. Joseph had two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. The name of the second he called Ephraim. Why? For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Okay, I mean, I told you, you're going to, once you get this purpose and see this, you're going to see fruitful seed out of affliction everywhere in the scripture. You're going to just see it over and over and over. Repeat each time with a different perspective, but the same thing coming forth. Joshua 5 and 2. Old Joshua. I believe there's a Joshua in this book. Yeah, Joshua 5 and 2. At that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. So there's a circumcision down here, isn't there? I got a circumcision down here. I got a circumcision up here. I mean, does that mean the first one was messed up? Got to do it again? How about, I won't give you all the seconds. I'm trying to hurry. John 3 and 4. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? See, how did you get into this creation? How did you start in this creation? You started by the birth Patty was talking about. All of you did. So there's a birth down here. You had to be born to get here, unless you're an alien. So there is a birth up here. It's called a new birth. But this birth is different than this birth. This birth, you came out how? By your mother's womb. But this birth is different. You came out how? By your mother's womb. What? Did you not? But Nicodemus said, how can I enter in again into my mother's womb? I can't, because he's looking at a natural mother, because everything he sees. So there is a new mother up here. Remember I told you Eve wasn't from below. Eve was from above. Right? So there's a new birth. If there's a new birth, there has to be a new birth, a new mother. So Nicodemus, you can't even see the kingdom, because this is a kingdom down here. But what kind of kingdom is this one? It's darkness. Now up here is a brand new kingdom. It's light. You see. Okay, let me go to Acts here real quick. Acts 7 and 13. Acts 7 and 13. And at the second time, Joseph was made known to his brethren. Remember I told you down here there's no understanding. Joseph's own brothers came to Joseph to get food. He stood before them and they didn't know him. Why, guys? Because there's no understanding. He's not made known down here. He's only made known in the second, that I may know him. He up here, Christ is made known. Not here. Guys, this is very important. There's no knowing here. It's a mystery. It's hidden. This whole thing is a veil. The only way they could get from here to here. Now, guys, you know what? I'm giving you a picture of the tabernacle. I'm giving you a picture right here of the outer court and the inner court right here. I'm giving you a picture of both of those two. Now, this whole thing is a veil right here that blocks you off into the second, the most holy place, the holiest of all. And the only way they could go in there was by the veil with the blood. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil was rent from the top to the bottom, and they could look in. You see, how about, wait a minute, we started off right there, 1 Corinthians 15, 47 again. The first man is of the earth, earthy. Wait a minute, I got a second man. I got a second man, and look at him. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Is there any doubt who that is? Just tell me now, is there any doubt who the second man is? Is there any doubt who the first man is? I mean, guys, I know that he's thinking, come on now, let's just move on. We got to see this, guys. We got The Adam, we got a new man. We got a first man, Adam, is of the earth, earth. Why do you think Paul would say, if you then be risen with Christ, set your affections on what? Things above. Let me tell you what, guys. Up here, I'm just going to throw this out. There is no worries here. Cannot be. So if you're worried, where is your affection? Has to be. There is no trouble here. There's no death here. There's no sickness here. There's nothing lacking here. Why? You. Who's you? Let me give you the Greek word. Ye. Who's ye? That's me. That's ye. Are. Now, let me ask you something right here. Some of you with a great English background. Is are past tense, present tense, or future tense? Are is present tense. So, I'm just going to write present tense, which means now. Ye are, here's a little word that means complete. Now, does complete mean something's lacking, something else needs to be added, something else needs to be done, something else is we got to do? But where does this take place? In Him. All right, well, how in the world we get that now? Let me just keep on reading. Let's go back to this little book called Hebrews. Now I'm gonna break this down. Hebrews 8 and 7. If finding fault with the first covenant, if the first covenant had been faultless, then there would have been no place to seek for a second. So there's another covenant up here in the second. A second covenant. And I can go through every one of these guys and show you. Let me just skip over to Hebrews 9 and 3. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. You see what a... We got two mountains down here. I got a Mount Sinai. What I got up here, I got a Mount Zion. I got a Jerusalem. I'm going to run out of places. I got a Jerusalem. I got all those things. But now, what has God done? Right here in Hebrews, it says, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, I'm in Hebrews 10:5, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. A body hast thou prepared me. Now remember, down here we got service to God. We got oracles of God. We got lambs and we got sacrifices. Why? Was God pleased in that? If the first covenant had been faultless, there wouldn't have been no need for another one. So it wasn't God down here as a big bloodthirsty person and he's like, I like death. I like killing. No, God is love and mercy and long-suffering. But the only... See, this guy messed up. This guy went by way of his own understanding. He wanted to be his own source. I showed you last week. He was put here in goodness, clothed with the purpose of God. But he decided not to partake of that lie, and he ate the lie. So if Adam ate the lie, everything now is what? Filled with the lie. It's built on it. Everything. So now he says, sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had, look right here, no pleasure. None. sat there with no pleasure, waiting on the logs, you know, Patty Ray, that not willing that any should perish. Having no pleasure, not finding his pleasure. Hey, we're offering up the best. God would tell them, your sacrifices to me is the same as you offered up a dead dog. That's what it is to me. The stink comes up in my nose. I'm tired of it. Then said he, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It's written of me to do what? To do thy will, O God. And above, when he said, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings, for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast thou pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then he said, lo, I come. Where did he come? Lo, I come. He came from here in glory. He came down through the womb of a woman. Through the womb of a woman. Through a virgin. Born right into here. Here he's rich, yet here he became poor. Why? A body hast thou prepared me. It's not good for man to be alone. But when I die, when I'm buried into this, when I raise up, bring many sons unto glory. Increase right here. You see that? Neither hast thou pleasure therein, which offered by the law. Then he said, lo, I come to do thy will. He taketh away the first. He taketh away the first. Now, did he take it away? He taketh away the first that he may establish the second. All right. Let me just tell you something here. Now remember, you're Adam. You're Adam. Where are you now? Well, I mean, what's left? I mean, really, what's left? So where's the war at? Wait a minute, I thought you was fighting flesh against spirit. Where's the flesh at? No, it's not on the backside either. You see, this is the mentality. Because while I was here, I had a double-minded man, didn't I? Who's unstable in all his ways. Double-minded man thinking there's something still here for him. But it's only an illusion. His aliens in his enemy's only place of reality. Wait a minute. I know there's trees out there, and I drove in a car here, and I stepped on a rock. Guys, he wasn't talking about the natural earth ever to start with anyway. But let me keep on going. See the where's Oakley at? Oakley, I've made it to right there on page one. I got seven to go. Really, I do. I gotta hurry. I gotta hurry. Yeah. See, the first always falls short. And the second is always pleasing to God. Remember, down here there was no pleasure. The first always falls short. The second is pleasing to God by faith. How do we live? We live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And here's the way it always goes. You see this pattern. The first always falls short. The second is pleasing to God by faith. Then the first does what? Becomes jealous and becomes angry and persecutes the second unto death, or sometimes in the types and shadows near death. And then you see this third thing take place. God rises up to take away the first and establish the second. You see this pattern over and over and over in Scripture. You see this in Ishmael and Isaac, don't you? You see this in Jacob and Esau. You see this in Saul and David. You see this in Adonijah and Solomon. You see it in Leah and Rachel. You see it over and over and over. What the first falls short. The first becomes jealous of the second. The first always persecutes the second. Then God raises up the second, takes away the first. You see this over and over and over. You know? You see it, sometimes it'll be a little different with a few different details. You know, Jacob, he did what? Jacob, why did Jacob stay with Leah? I mean, Jacob saw Rachel at the well. He fell in love with Rachel. He saw Rachel before he ever laid eyes on Leah. Did he not? He's at the well, sees Rachel coming, runs over, steals a kiss from her, then goes down and works for her 7 years, and then, on the marriage day, he gets a tender-eyed, cross-eyed girl. Does he throw her under the bus? No. He works another 7 years. Why? All that time, he has his real bride in view. God endured the long suffering and everything. Why? Because he had that church in view. He endured for 4,000 years because he had the church that we were singing about in view. Endured all those things. You see the difference? God's heart was set on Mount Zion before he ever had Sinai in view. God's heart was set on the spiritual before he ever made the natural. God always had the second in view, of which the first pointed to. And let me say, the first was the wrong man filling up the wrong creation under a weak covenant. Why was the covenant weak? Because of the flesh. You know, we go into all that in Romans. That first, because of the flesh, it could never bring forth what God desired. Why didn't they like Jesus' preaching? I mean, you would have thought Jesus would have been a great preacher. Let me tell you how great he was. The crucified. I mean, you would think really the gospel message. Oh, just come and hear the gospel message. Jesus came declaring the gospel message. You have all fallen short. I'm the seed. Wow, I thought, boy, if you could just hear Jesus talk, I'm going to tell you what, when Jesus came into town preaching messages, they picked up stones to run him out. You read it in the scriptures. They run him out of Dodge. Some of the places they wanted to throw him headlong over the cliff. He declared the first had become abominable. How they had taken the word of God and turned it into what? Their own tradition. You wicked and perverse generation. You generation of vipers. He said the kingdom will be taken away from you and given it to a nation bringing forth what? The increase of it. The fruit of it. Jesus' parables was always about the first and the second. You remember? They were invited to a wedding. The first was invited to a wedding. What happened? They were too busy. They wasn't doing wrong stuff. They said, look, I'm too busy. I got to go see about a piece of land. I got a new cow. I would really like to go to church today. I just don't have time. Jesus, you know my heart. He says, that's the very problem. That's the very problem. Your heart is set here. And it's abominable. I mean, we don't really want to hear that, do we? See, that's not. We don't really want to hear that. We want to say, God knows my best intention. God, I would have been there. But I know it's a wedding. I know you planned a wedding for your son. But can you change the date? Because as soon as I get through checking on this land and digging this well and, doing other things, I'll be there, I promise. He said, you know what? You're not only no longer invited, but you're cut off and you will never be invited again. Now go out and get the crippled and the blind, the drunkards in the hedges, and bring them in. I'm going to set them up in the seats I had prepared for you. We got You remember the parable of the vineyard? They wanted the fruit for themselves. They wouldn't give the owner of the vineyard the increase of it. Kill the son. Be taken away from you. And what Jesus was telling them, look guys, he's speaking to the first, he's speaking to the Jews and telling them the first is about to be taken away. Everything you know is about to be taken away and I'm about to establish the new. Because look, where are you going to be found? You're not. But I thought God always had two covenants and he's got a covenant with his special people Israel down here. I heard that on our TV this morning. You sure, Clark? Because they wanted me to send $25 over to help rebuild the tabernacle down here. If I get this tabernacle down and get Jesus to leave here and come back down into here. But something happened. Jesus sat down. Rest. There. None down here. He sat down. So he ain't going to get up and come back down here. Offer one sacrifice forever. So we're going to really rebuild this tabernacle down here again so we can offer a lamb because this one here wasn't good enough? I'd like to slap people upside the head sometimes and say, how in the world could you preach this nasty, dirty lamb's blood? It's better than the precious blood of Jesus Christ that was offered one time for the sins of many. That word many means all. Right here is the river that flows out of this thing. It does, and everywhere this water goes, it takes over. It brings life and fills it with this. If you'd asked me, I'd have gave you rivers of living water, moving water, not pond water, not well water. This water's moving. Let me go to Galatians here. Galatians 4:21. Tell me ye that desire to be under the law, don't you hear the law? For it's written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bondmaid, the other by the free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman by promise. So remember, two sons. Which things are an allegory? Wait a minute. They're an allegory, Clyde. These things all pointed to something else. And well, I mean, they're an allegory. For these are the two covenants. One which gendereth from Mount Sinai, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, an answer to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in what? Bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free. He whom the Son makes free, how does he make them free? Right here by the Torah. He whom the Son makes free is what? Free indeed. How did the Son make you free? You come by way of the cross. There's no other way. Jesus is the way. That's the only door. The blood-covered door. Not a bunch of doors. Only one door. For it is written, rejoice thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she with hath a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac are the children of promise. Why are we the children of promise? Because Isaac came by faith. You know, we were talking about it on Wednesday. Isaac was the promise of faith. But as then he that was born after the flesh did what? Persecuted him that was born after the Spirit. Even so it is now. See, so here and even in this epistle to the Galatians, there was the fight over the two seeds. The seed of Adam and the seed of Christ. Well, in God's view, he had already took this out. But in the church's view, there was still a controversy over who are the real sons of God. Because the Jews are jumping up saying, you know what, guys, we're it. You guys are just a bunch of dogs and you're a bunch of Gentiles and we're the seed of Abraham. They even said that to Jesus. They looked at Jesus and said, I don't know who you think you are. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. And they said, I don't think so, big dog. I'm going to knock my glasses down, throw the thing off. He said, I don't think so, big dog. I know you're of Joseph. I know you're not even 50 years old. Telling me you're the seed. I got it, Jeff. Thank you. You're not even 50 years old. Telling me you're before Abraham. We're the seed of Abraham. Jesus said, you're not seed of Abraham. If you were seed of Abraham, you'd go back and do the deeds of Abraham. You're of your father, the devil. He's a liar from the beginning. He's a liar from the beginning. The lust of his flesh you'll do. You see? So the first is always becomes jealous and persecutes the second. But Paul gives them a promise. He says, nevertheless, guys, what does the scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son. What Paul is saying is, he's saying, church, look. Now, this, because here was the fulfillment of it in the cross. But there was about to be a natural manifestation of it. The natural manifestation of it was in 70 AD when God came in by the Roman general Titus and tore this whole thing down. Dug the stones up out of the ground and plowed the Temple Mount as if nothing ever existed. Immediately from that time on, they wanted to go back and build that temple back. God let the Muslims come in and put a dome of a rock there because he is not going to bring back this system. Now think about that. God is not bringing back this system. And I guarantee you, if they went over there and got rid of that mosque, that Muslim mosque which sits right slap dab in the middle of the city of David over there and the city of Jerusalem, the Jews would start building a temple tomorrow and start sacrificing lambs by the end of the week. And America would provide the heavy equipment to do it because we would think that's going to usher in something. And all it's going to usher in is another, I'm going to wipe it all out again, guys. Because know ye not, ye are the temple of the living God. I've already raised up my other temple. I'm not having this one again. See, in resurrection, he raised up Christ. He took away the first. He established the second. He removed the first from his sight. In terms of his relationship with natural man and old covenant, it was over. When Jesus died on the cross, it was over. What did Jesus say? It's finished. It was over. In 70 AD is when he manifested it outwardly. It didn't become real in 70 AD. It was only manifested in 70. It became real right here. Jesus gave up the ghost. So let's go look over here. I'm going to hurry. Let's go look over here in Cain and Abel real quick. Cain and Abel, what do we see? Who was first, Cain or Abel? How much did you learn in Sunday school? Cain was first. Look at verse 3, in the process of time. You know what that means? I even got it in the margin of my Bible, the end of days. So we're getting a picture here of the first persecute the second. Now what did they do? They both offered unto God. I didn't see this till last night. What was the difference of their offering? My God, go to Hebrews. Let me show you right here in Hebrews 4. How did Abel offer? By faith. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Well, so what is faith? I told you, faith always has the seed in view. Faith is always looking towards it's God's view. God's view was of his son. So when Abel offered, he knew he was offering something more than just an animal. He knew this thing pointed to something bigger, and he offered it by faith. Cain didn't. Cain brought the best that he had. God doesn't want the best that you got. He don't want anything you got. Do you see? We want our boy to get. He don't want it from the ground either. He don't want it from the forest either. Abel offered by faith. Cain's wasn't accepted. What happened when Cain's wasn't accepted? He became jealous. He rises up in anger. He kills Abel. Now listen, you can't really follow the types and shadows right here because Abel is dead. But you can see it because he's the next thing that he does, he's taking away the first. He curses Cain. And he curses Cain. Look at verse 14, Genesis 4:14. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. God is never looking at the first again. From thy face shall I be hid. So we see that he's taken away the first. Wait a minute, how's he establishing the second? He raises up another son called Seth. You see? The first gets jealous of the second, rises up, persecutes. Don't we see are you seeing the cross right here? The first, the Jews, the natural, see the second, Jesus. What do? They rise up, they persecute him, they kill him. Then what does God do? Raises up, takes away the first, establishes the second. I mean, he that's first shall be last. And you'll see the birthright in Genesis 5 goes through Seth. The birthright didn't go through Cain. Never came back to Cain. And so we see this. And then we see this. We see the same story coming over in Noah. We see what do we see in Noah? We see a creation rejected. Now, guys, I'm just giving you some highlights. We see a creation rejected, and we see another one coming forth in judgment. Why? Because in God's mind, he always had the second in view before he ever made the first. And in Noah, we get an awesome view of the cross. God is showing some different facets of the same thing. Here in the ark, here in Noah, we're not going to see the blood-covered door. We're not going to see the laying hands. We're not going to see blood on the altar. But you will see the rejection of the first. You'll see the judgment or the separation. And here I'm just giving you some highlights again. You can search all this out. He says, I will destroy, in Genesis 6:7, I will destroy the man whom I created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I've made them. Why didn't God just make a plague? Why did he have to destroy the bears or the rabbits, the little bunnies? Why? Were they doing something evil? Why did he destroy the little deer? Why did he have to destroy the giraffe and the orangutans? He did. In time types. Because, it's what I told you before, you got to think of the purpose. He created that first creation, that earth, to be filled with the image of Adam. And when Adam ate the lie, everything that Adam touched now became filled with the lie. The whole creation did. The whole creation had become what? The increase of a fallen Adam. Remember, Adam, be fruitful, replenish, reign over the earth. And we know Adam was type and shadow of Christ. And this was the picture. The earth was supposed to be the display of that man. Remember, all was good. So when Adam fell short, and I just want you to get this, it wasn't like the earth had a separate function of itself. God only had one purpose. So Adam and the earth had one purpose. The earth was to be the display of Adam. He was to fill it. When Adam ate the lie and became self-aware, became a man to live by his own understanding of good and evil, he became everything that was contrary to God. So now the earth takes on the image of the wrong man. Everything Adam touches, he spoils, not because he makes a rose black, not because he makes a tree ugly, but because he uses everything for himself. You see what I mean? free. See, the rock was there to do what? Point to Christ. But now we'll take a rock and we'll put it on our finger to make ourselves look pretty, won't we? Hang it from our ears to make ourselves look good. You see what I'm talking about? The tree was supposed to be really, really good and pretty and so, but what do we do now? We use it for shelter. We'll build houses with it. We'll make us a bed so that we can have rest. See what I mean? So we've used everything of natural creation for our own need and benefit. There is not one thing in this earth that we don't use for ourselves. Wait a minute, I thought that's what God created it for. Now, man contaminates it with his own purpose. When Adam ate the lie, immediately everything in the earth becomes a means to his end. It becomes a mean to his own pleasure. Every fig leaf now was used for what? To cover your nakedness with it. Every rock was used to bash somebody else's head with. I mean, look around in this world. Everything we use is to use, control, to get, to beat, to conquer, to keep enslaved. Everything we got is used that way. Everything. We get it out of the earth so we can make bigger bombs. We don't grow food so that we can starve people out so that their government will have to bow down to ours. Everything. We're talking corn on the cob here that we can feed the world with, but we use it to manipulate other countries. It's pitiful. Everything is that way. So here in Genesis, what's he got to do? God is going to destroy the whole thing. And I don't want you to miss God's perspective here. See, the lie gives man a value, a purpose, some kind of good apart from God. That's what the lie does. Think of the picture God's given us. This is God's perspective and God's solution to the problem. And that solution was God needed to judge that whole creation and bring about the end of it and separate the entire kind from himself and destroy it and start with something new. A whole other kind, not of the earth, not of the lie. You see, God is not trying to save the best and mix it with the worst. And that's the point that he's making. So what does he do? He brings forth Genesis, and every substance that was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, man and cattle, creeping things, fowl of heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained, and they that were with him in the ark. See, this is why it's so important, guys, when Paul would say, only one remained, and you can see this, and only one remained. I erased this guy because in God's view, only one remains. Only one remains. Noah only remained, and those that were with him in the ark. In the ark. So what do we see here? We see death swallowing up an entire creation. Yet in the midst of that death, one of them finds favor with God. Noah did, didn't it? Noah found favor with God. See, Noah didn't escape death. He went into it and was shut into it by the door. God closed him up in the ark, didn't he? Christ goes into death. Jonah goes into the belly of the fish for how long? 3 days and three nights. You're not spared in judgment. You're brought right into judgment. You're baptized into judgment. You're baptized into his death. This is Paul's language in Ephesians 2. What happens in Ephesians 2? Let's look at this real quick. Ephesians 2, you were dead in trespasses and sins, right? But now you're what? Quickened together. You're baptized into his death. God was rich in his mercy. He quickened you together with Christ. And what happened in this ark? You're quickened together with Christ. You're brought into this great boat here. Quickened together, baptized right here. What happened to this boat? The waters raised up. And this boat came to rest on a high mountain. Raised up together, seated together with Christ Jesus. Where at? In heavenly places. We're at in Christ Jesus. Paul wasn't just making this up. My gosh, he got this story right from Genesis. Made to sit on top of the mountain. The ark comes forth, this new man, this new creation. Then what does he give you? He gives you a picture of the bone. I seen a. He gives you a picture of the bow, don't he? Right here in Noah. I give you a picture of the bow. Why does he give you a picture of the bow? You go look at this. Let me show you here real quick. Genesis 9. I just want you to see this. You never look at these words. Genesis 9. And I set my bow in the cloud. And it's a token of a covenant between me and the earth. It shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature, no more flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud. Look at verse 16. The bow is going to be in the cloud, and I will look upon it. What's he looking upon? The bow. So what's God's view? God's view from now on is the bow. God says, here's where I'm going to look. I'm going to look at the bow. Oh, no, wait a minute. I'm going to look at Denise's sin. Uh-uh. Here's the covenant I'm going to make with you. Your sins and iniquities I'll remember no more. Here's the covenant I'm going to make with you. When I see the bow. In other words, he says, when I see my son. Yeah. When I see my son. When I see him, and then I'll remember the covenant that I made with the earth. That I will what? Never destroy the earth again. I'll never bring the earth into condemnation, because there's therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Then he says, now I get it, because of the cross. He's not even looking at me anymore. He's looking at his son. You are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God, who's not even looking at you anymore. Who says, I will look at my bow, whom I have set. There's therefore now no condemnation. And you know what God did with his wrath, with his judgment, with his condemnation? He poured it out right here at this little place called Golgotha. He poured out, how much wrath did God pour out right there? Boy, that's an ugly looking cross. Oh, yeah. So how much wrath did God pour out? All. No, wait a minute. Okay. How much anger did God pour out? How much of God's anger did he pour out right there? Part of it. A little bit of it. Third of it. So I can just leave that word right there. All. How much condemnation did God pour out right there? How much of God's condemnation did he? All. God poured it all out right there. So he completely emptied it all right there on that man. And now he says, you know what? I'm never going to look down here to Cain again. I'm never looking. Yeah, you see the first is still going on out there in the world, but I'm never dealing with that again. Here's my relationship. You want to deal with me? Right there. Come by way of the door. Nicodemus, you must be born from above. You must be born again. Then you come by way of the door. You come in to this place where you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. You see, that's the place where He spent it all. And, you know, I'm at the end here. And then what do we see? We see a new creation that comes forth. We're out of the ark. In the cross, we see a new man that comes forth. Who is that? Christ. And what does a new man do? Feels a new creation. We get a picture. How? By means of the church. And he sets forth what? In that church, a new relationship, a new covenant. Where it's much more than just the end of God's judgment and condemnation and all of that. But now we can relate to God and His Son apart from being destroyed. Because He destroyed everything else. In this creation, we never have to cover ourselves again with anything other than the cross of Christ. That's why Peter would say, as few as 8 souls were saved in the ark, which was a figure. Likewise, you know, we're baptized, which is what? Not a putting away the filth of the flesh, but it's an answer of a good conscience towards God. How is that? By the resurrection, by the taking away of the first and establishing of the second. I wish we could just get a hold of that. Isaiah 54 tells you the same thing. Isaiah 54 says, this is as the waters anoint me. My wrath was kindled for just a little bit. This was as the waters of Noah. And he said, I'll never do that again. I wish we could just get a hold of that, guys. Let me tell you something. I know in this world out here, in this world, everything will beat on you and draw from you for your attention. And I thought about doing a little class at some point in time on emotions. Because guys, we ourselves, we get so troubled and so busy and so preoccupied and so I don't know. You know, I fail to the words to say it sometimes. I don't know about you guys. I know for me, I mean, this, I've been captivated by the Lord. It's gotten a hold of me. Now, listen, guys, if I heard the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night the other night. I'm just sharing something with you. And I heard these words, this will be life from the dead. This will be life from the dead. And he even gave me 7 names, and I wasn't smart enough to write them down. I don't know what they meant. I don't know. But I mean, I'm telling you what, guys, the Lord speaks to His people. If you'll pay attention, it's not that I'm special. It's not that He sprinkled me with magic dust and I'm better than any of you. But He speaks to His people and He reveals Himself. He does. And let me tell you something, guys. There's a hurting, aching world out there that needs to hear this gospel. They do. They do. And the gospel is not pleasing to your flesh because it's always bringing an end to your flesh. I don't leave here thinking, man, I feel so good about myself. I feel good about that man that lives in me. That's how I leave here. That's how I feel every time, because I look at myself, Josh, and I know I'm a putrid, low-down, dirty dog sinner that has nothing but evil thoughts going through my head all the time. I know that, Kathy. I'm not a stupid liar. But I don't live in condemnation. Because I know that man lives in me. And that man is full of love and mercy and compassion. And in the midst of that, I have forgiveness of sin. I mean, I used to jump around and say all these other things, but I'm going to tell you what. This man, this bow, lives in the midst of the cloud. Hello, cloud. Jesus went out of sight. Where? In the cloud? In His people. You're the cloud. seven times, and lo, I hear the sound of what? A few raindrops on the roof? The abundance of rain. The increase of rain. It's always the increase that's coming forth. And it's never the increase of Clyde or Patty or Oakley or Josh or me. It's the increase of Him in the midst. He comes forth. Guys, this is so important, so I'm not going to sit up here and tell you ever you're about to get a breakthrough. Your breakthrough happened 2,000 years ago. You've been brought right here. You've been brought to the table. Now the thing is, come and eat. Come and dine. Come and drink of this water, this river that flows, this river of life that flows right now. You don't have to sit there and wait. You just need to take your cup and dip out and start drinking. About to move. He moved and he finished. He sat down, and now he says to whomever he will, let him come. Let him drink. Let him take of this. How much does it cost you? Freely. You just can't bring your life over here. You come over and partake of this one. It's so important, guys. It's so important. Now I'm going to tell you the other half of this. This has just been on my mind because last week I heard the cry of a guy's soul call me up one night. A guy in the midst of alcoholism. And I hear the guy crying and he says, I don't want to die. And I know he's talking a natural death. Guys, I've wanted to do this for a long time, but I've just never felt that we had the means to do it or whatever. But now I'm jumping in this thing with both feet. And I don't even know if we'll have anybody show up on Thursday. But at Thursdays at 6:30, I'm starting another class. Now, this is not a Bible teaching class or whatever, but, well, it is. But I'm throwing this out there for people who have problems, drugs, alcohol, whatever. And you know what we're going to minister? It's not going to be a 12-step program. It's not going to be Alcoholics Anonymous where you come in here and Josh comes in here and says, I'm an alcoholic. I've been an alcoholic I've been sober for 300 days. Uh-uh. You're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. You're not an alcoholic. You're a son of God. If you're born from above, you're the son of God. You are not an alcoholic. If you're not a son of God, then we need to get you born again and born from above. You see? We're not going that other route, but I'm throwing this out there. I'm trying to get some other people to join in and help. This is going to be to the people they call drunkards. I know we can't save everybody. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. But I want to put it out there. I think we're trying to work on some brochures that we can spread the word and get the word out. But I want to reach out. I hope your heart is to reach out. I really do, guys. There's no freedom in nothing else. I know there's so many people out there that in so many places are lied to, and they're waiting on God to do something when He's done it. And all you're saying is, my God, just pull up to this table and eat. That's all you have to do. God is already, I'm trying to get them out of the place of waiting and get them into the place of participation. And it's different. One of the messages says, wait, God will move. The other one says, come on in and eat. There's a difference, Clyde. There is an absolute difference between waiting on supper to be done and sitting down and eating. When I'm waiting on supper to be done, all I do is have all this anguish and smell the good food and waiting and waiting. There's no joy until I'm partaking of the big steak. There's no joy until my thirst is quenched from the ice-cold water. You see what I mean? So Thursday's at 6:30. Guys, and look, we were talking about this the other night. What family in here has not been touched by drug addiction or alcoholism? What family in here don't know somebody that's in jail because of it? Somebody dead because of it? Me and Kathy were just talking a few minutes ago. I got people right down here in jail. She's got people right there in jail. We're sending you. Oh, everybody in here has got somebody that we wished something would be different. Guys, it's time to take the ministry from here, this gospel of here, and take it out there. If we don't, why be here? We are wasting our time, because the whole thing is about the increase of Christ. And if this ministry doesn't spill outside of these doors into everyday life out there, and if we reach one or two, so be it. But it's got to, guys. Jesus went through Samaria for one woman. One woman. And he said, it's necessary, Clyde, that I go through this place. What do you mean? What do you mean, Jesus? We don't have no dealings with the Samaritans. I'm going to go and sit on this well until this woman who's thirsty comes out here, and I'm going to challenge her. Because this one little woman is going to affect the whole city. That's what happened, guys. She came out, left her water pot, goes back to the city preaching the gospel, saying what? Come and see a man. Wednesdays, still have our class, but we're adding this one in Thursday. And you know who it's for. I don't care who shows up, guys. But let's get the word out there. There's people hurting and there's people aching. And listen, guys, this ain't a 12-step program. I told you that. And we ain't making a hospital, Josh. We ain't making. You know the difference. This ain't going to be come in here and be pity-patted every week. This is going to be take up your bed and walk. Okay? Because the ministry of Jesus didn't leave them laying on the bed, did he, Kathy? You know, I always seen people in ministry, they always knock people down. I'll eat that Bible if you can show me one place Jesus knocked anybody down. You made them rise up. Rise up. Rise up. Big difference. That's what this is going to be, because we only have one thing to minister, and that's Jesus Christ. Nothing else. So I apologize for being so long. I do. It's hard to squeeze all that stuff in there. But I'll turn this thing back on, Patty. Yeah.